bumped into myself.
Yeah. All right. Sunday school wise. For the Christian, praying is supposed to be like breathing. Easier to do than not to do. And I'm going to ask Brother Carl Holmes if he would ask God to lead in our Sunday school class.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for everyone that's here this morning. For those that aren't able to be here, I pray that you would just meet their needs and they'd be looking to you for those needs. Thank you to have Pastor Hayden here today and bring us our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. And thank you for all the children that just exited and went to their classrooms. What a blessing. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We pray for a variety of reasons, and I'm going to go over them, and there's scriptures for each of the four points that I have here on my sheet. I prepared this probably for prayer meeting, I'm not sure, but when I knew I was responsible for Sunday school this morning, I decided that I would use it here. We pray. For number one, prayer is a form of serving God. We always think to ourselves, you know, I'd like to serve God, and so can I be on a cleaning team? That's a good service. Maybe I can teach a Sunday school class. We have VBS coming up. I can be involved. I can serve in VBS. And so there's different forms of service. And we don't typically, when I say we, it includes myself, I don't typically think of prayer as a form of serving God. It's a time of asking God for things. But you know, I've also learned through the years that prayer is more than just asking. My dad used to say to me, now I was 13 when he died, he was a country music entertainer. And so Friday and Saturday nights, he was the entertainment, him and his band, at some carnival, okay? Fireman's carnivals frequently, but whatever the sponsoring group, and they'd go there, and my brother was 10 years older, so, you know, when I'm talking 10 years old, my brother was 20, and he didn't, you know, go along, he didn't have to, but I did. So we get to the carnival ground, and he'd usually peel off back then $1. And Roger knew to entertain himself. And so, in addition to hot dogs and French fries, I would, if they had rides, I'd do the rides. And, you know, pardon me, but back then I wasn't saved. And so I'd do the penny pitch to try and get a glass dish. Or they had the ones, you know, with the wheels. And the numbers on the wheels and the click, 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 you know, thing. Now, any of you that, you know, frequented them place, just play it cool, and that way nobody will know. But, you know, I'd lay my nickel or quarter, whatever was needed, down in a number. They'd spin the wheel, and I don't remember winning much then, you know. But then when my money was gone, well, you know, might be an hour later, I'd go back to my dad. He'd look at me and say, what's the matter? You need more money? I'd say, yeah. And so and he'd peel off another dollar and give it to me, and I'd be gone. You know, dollar bills were the babysitter. And he said to me one time, Roger, you have the gimmies. Give me this. Give me that. That's often a way that prayer is looked at. We go to God asking for this, asking for that. Give me this, give me that. Now, please understand, just like my earthly father wanted to meet those needs, grumble as he might have, okay? God doesn't grumble, and he wants to meet our needs. And so we can go to him and we can ask, but prayer involves more than just asking. It's a form of serving God and a form of obeying God. Now again, there's many ways that we show obedience to God. Never thought of prayer as a form of serving, and it's a form of obedience. Look at Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Luke 2:36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. I'm not just sure how to understand that. She had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. From when she became a virgin, okay, was it 7 years later that she, her husband, and like I say, not quite sure how to understand that. And that thought didn't come to me when I was preparing, or I'd have been able to answer that for you. And I don't have to think out loud, you know, and that idea makes one look dumb, you know. I'm not really sure how to understand that. Well, Pastor, you're supposed to know. Yeah, supposed to, but not always happens. All right, let's go back, verse 37. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God. Now watch this. She lived at the temple. She served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. That was her ministry. And it was her form of serving. It tells it. I mean, it can't be any clearer. She served God with fasting and prayers. Now, my subject is prayer. Brother Dale gave an excellent message not too long ago on the matter of fasting and stressed how important that is. And in verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She saw the Christ child and she knew this was the one she was waiting for. And so it's a form of serving and obeying God. We need to remember that. When I was driving down Route 86 coming to church, and I was praying for the Sunday school class this morning, prayed for each one of the teachers out back and Brother Neil down in the basement. That was a form of serving God. Then secondly, we pray because God commands us to pray. We pray because God commands us. Now we're going to look at the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And that's where we read the scriptures having to do with prayer. Philippians 4 verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So prayer, you see, is commanded here to us. It's not given as an instruction with an optional thought behind it. Now, many times when we read such things, that's the way it ends up, where, you know, we end up thinking, you know, do I do this or don't I do this, you know? And sometimes we don't even think about it. It just happens. Sometimes we just do it. We're obeying it. And then other times we just don't do it. It means we're disobeying it. So we pray because God instructed and commanded us to do that. And there's a reward that comes with it. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when we go to God with everything in prayer, everything, don't hold back on anything, but everything in prayer. Now, there are some things that we wouldn't always think about praying for, and I can't, it's inappropriate in a mixed group for me to say some of them things. Okay, but everything, there's things that we can pray about. We don't often think about praying about some of the things that we think, don't talk about that. We don't talk about that, you know. No, it's good to be discreet. It's good to be proper and appropriate. But everything in prayer. Maybe if we prayed about some of them things that we have in secret, maybe we'd be better off. And for certain, the promise is, and you see it's a conjunction, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds. So we have to go to him in prayer on these things. And if there's things that we're not praying about, well, we know we ought to pray about our finances. We know we ought to pray about our church involvement. We know we ought to pray about some of our lost family members. But there's a lot of other things we need to pray about. And listen, you may as well pray about them. You say, oh, I couldn't go to God with that. You may as well. He knows about it. He knows everything about us. And so to verbalize to him, whether audibly or in silence, when we go to him, he wants us to come to him with these things. And, Lord, I need help. I really don't manage my money very well. When we first got married, I wanted Pat to manage the money. And we'd have been better off financially through our years, and especially our early years, if she'd have managed it, because she is a better manager of our money. And she gets a small Social Security. And she pays for all the groceries. She pays for the cards that she sends out to family members, okay? And there's other things that she gives to regularly. And oh my goodness, when I say she manages, she'll just set aside a little bit and a little bit. And it grows. And over the course of a year, I know there's some projects that she has, and she'll save all year for them. And it's astounding the amount that she has at the end. So I said, I'd like you to take care of the money. Now, probably back then, it was just because I didn't want to do it. Okay, because we hadn't been together long enough for me to learn that about her. And she said, no, that's your responsibility. You take care of the money. Well, okay, if you insist. And she did. She insisted. And so I took care of it. Now, the way we did it, okay, and this is nothing to do with prayer. This is a side thing. But the way we did it is she would balance the checkbook, because I do not have a knack for that. And tell you the truth, I don't want to learn. And so she would balance the checkbook. When the bills came in, I would pay the bills. So I'd take the checkbook, I'd write out a check, and I'd mail it to the electric company. But she balanced the checkbook. So she saw where the money was going. She saw how much the bills were. And so in that sense, the two of us were involved. A few times we'd sit down at the table and go over some things, but generally, she balanced the checkbook, I paid the bills, and that's how we worked together on that. Now, that started out to be an illustration of something, and Lord only knows what it was, because I sure don't. But nevertheless, that's something for young couples. You both, and older couples, if you don't do it, you both need to be involved some way, in some form, in the finances. Otherwise, what you're going to hear, the man's going to say, I need some money for a tool. Well, we don't have any. What do you mean we don't have any? But I gave you my check. What'd you do with it all? Well, she paid bills and all of that stuff. But if you're not involved, you don't know where it went. And you think that there ought to be money there for everything. But there isn't, okay? And so you need to be involved together. Now, you know, right away when I start saying the young couples, right away your mind goes to Mark, John Mark, and Samantha. And that, what I'm saying is true, but it's true for everybody else. I mean, you might be married 40 years, and if you don't have some way that you work together on it, that's part of your tensions. There are four things that where problems exist in a marriage. One of them is relationships. That's where the in-laws become outlaws, okay? The other one, and the biggest one, is finances. And then the other one is religion. And in the case of two believers being married, it would be the fact that they're not on the same level in their Christian commitment and so on. And I can't remember the fourth one. Huh, that's wonderful. Well, I got three of them. Now let's get back to prayer, okay? So we pray because God commands us, and He promises the outcome of praying will be peace. Because when we go to God in prayer and we give Him everything, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care about anything. And when we go to Him, it's like unloading it. Okay, there's a degree to which that works when you just talk with somebody and can talk things out. But the added advantage is when you get God working in it. And so to talk to Him is significant. You may talk to somebody else about your problem, but don't leave God out. Then third, Jesus set the example for prayer. Look at the book of Mark. Okay, we'll go back to the book of Mark. And we're going to be in chapter 1. Jesus set the example for prayer. Mark 1 and verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out, departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. But he got up before daybreak, and he went out to a place alone. This could be the basis. I have heard testimony of a number of men, usually pastors, evangelists, missionaries, I have heard say it, but certainly laymen, as they are called when they're not in ministry, they have done this, and that is they have a place out in the woods, okay? If they have a number of acres, you know, it might be on their own acreage, but they go there. It's a place where they go. And if you were to go there, you might see that the dirt is tamped down. You might see that leaves were put there so that when they did kneel, there's no premium in getting the knees of your pants muddy. And so they may have, put leaves there so when they would kneel down. And they have a solitary place where they pray. And that's what Jesus did. Now, you don't have to go out. You might get up before daybreak and wherever it is in your house that you pray. I don't get up before daybreak. Okay? I'm not an early morning person. Now, I know from Bonnie, when she talked about getting up to go take care of her grandson, Bo, she would get up early. And she's one of them early morning people. Now, one night, I wanted to call her, and I said to Pat, do you think it's too late? It was 9 o'clock. I said, do you think it's too late to call Bonnie? She said, I wouldn't. When you get up at 4 o'clock, okay, or whatever, you don't go to bed at midnight. And so, bottom line is, Jesus set the example, and he got up before daybreak, and he went out to pray. He went out to pray. I know when we were raising our four children, it was difficult for Pat to find a time to pray, and because of the care of all of the children. And come nighttime, she was ready for bed, and she is not a morning person. She may get out of bed, or now wake in her lift chair, say at 8 o'clock, but she's not awake till 10 o'clock, okay? Her eyes are open, she's talking, but she's not functioning. I mean, and literally, I would ask her questions, she says, I can't think, it's too early. And so, come back at 10, so that's what I did. The important thing is that we pray, okay? Follow the example of Jesus and pray. And there's times when the press of things, just like now what we're going through with her being in the hospital and all that's happening, it's you gotta make effort to pray. It's not always easy to find time to pray. Oh, the devil loves that. Because then he can heap guilt on us. Well, you didn't spend enough time in prayer. Okay, he doesn't count all of the, I call them flash prayers, that you pray, like I said, coming down Route 86 and prayed for the Sunday school teachers. When I'm going from the house to the hospital and the Lord puts somebody on my mind and I pray about it while I'm driving there, you know, that's not as satisfying as going to a solitary place, be it in the woods or be it in the house, and praying. But don't you let the devil put a guilt trip on you. He tries to put it on me, and I don't give in to him. And so the Lord knows our weakness. As a matter of fact, we're going to see that here in a bit, but we're at it. See if I can pick it up. Well, I'll have to pick it up later. All right, so Jesus set the example. The early church demonstrated prayer. If you look at the book of Acts, we're going to chase down a few verses in the book of Acts to see how, and you say, well, I know that. I know that the people in the early church prayed. I know that Jesus prayed. Well, then why don't you pray more? You see, just because we know something with our head doesn't make the difference in our life. It's what we yield to, what we submit to, and what we do that makes the difference. It's great to know things, but knowing them is not enough. Can anybody say amen to that?
Well,
am I the only one that has that experience? All right, the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 14. These all continued with one accord, so they're in a group. The church was together. These all continued in one accord with what? Prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So it isn't just men. This was men and women. They were gathered together and they were in one accord. They were in agreement for this thing that they were praying for. Now, they were human. I'm sure they had their thoughts. This apostle, that apostle, okay? When whatever it was they were praying about, that, you know, they had their wonderings about what had happened or what was going on. Be that as it may, they nevertheless were in agreement and prayed. Chapter 2 and verse 42. Chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the teachings, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And in prayers. They continued steadfastly, and that's what we need to do. Now, the fourth thing, we saw prayer as a form of serving and obeying God. We pray because God commands it in His Word. And then third, Jesus set the example and the early church practiced it. Now, another reason to pray is that God intends prayer to be a means of obtaining solutions for our situations, our personal life situations, and those common to many. And so we need to be prayed. That's how God is going to meet our needs. You say, well, I prayed for some things and I haven't got an answer. Well, you've heard it's so common. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says wait. And if you're not getting an answer, it's not necessarily no. He may just be telling you to wait. Wait, why wait? It needs now. Now, I need to know now. No, apparently we don't need to know now. But we need to wait on the Lord. There's something He may need to do in us so that we're ready for the answer. And there's many reasons. If we knew what God knows, okay, well, that'd be something, all right? So we pray in preparation for major decisions. The book of Luke, we're going to go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. We pray for to be prepared for major decisions. And it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray. All right, so now we see Jesus is praying. He continued all night in prayer to God. I've come to the conclusion repetition's okay in prayer. We don't have to try and think of 80 different ways to ask for the same thing. We can just say the same request over and over. It's not boring to God. It shows God the dependence of our life on Him. And it shows the persistence in coming to Him for an answer. You know, there's different illustrations in the Bible. And one of them was that this one fella just kept asking and asking and pestering and pestering the man. And finally the man gave in and gave it to him because of his persistence. And that is given as an illustration to us of praying. You can't, we got to get over our common feelings. It's not bugging God. It's not pestering God. It's evidencing to God how much we want this. When we come and pray for 10 minutes for something and then go about doing other things and we have that burden for that thing, what does it say to God? Apparently they're willing to live with this. Apparently it isn't as urgent a thing as what they said to me. And so we just got to keep going to God over and over. And I agree with you, that's not easy. And there are so many things in life, and maybe we can't be there for 5 hours pleading with God. And so we spend the time we can, and then we take care of other responsibilities, then we come back to it. And I admit with you sometimes that, you know, when I ought to be praying and asking God, I'm picking up a book and reading it. And I ought to be praying and asking God. And I admit there's times where I'll go online and I'll go to YouTube and, it's a good thing. It's a Christian thing. But I ought to be praying. If you have a television, there's times where we ought to turn it off and go and pray. There's times where we ought to close the book, lay it down, and go and pray. There's times where we ought to take the cell phone and turn it off. Or at least, you know, get away from YouTube or whatever and pray. But we don't do it. Shoot, something happened. Oh, you broke my glass, Sam. It was already broken. What's going on there?
It's the connection's weak, so when you wiggle it.
Oh, okay. Weak connection. Weak connection. That's what I am, a weak connection. All right. So we pray to be prepared for decisions. And then we gather workers. We're still in Luke chapter 10. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 10. Every missionary who comes through, you know, 9 out of 10 of them will tell us and challenge, is there anybody here who's willing to go to Portugal with us? We need workers in Brazil. Maybe God would have you come to Brazil and serve. All of them. And they need workers. Chapter 10, Luke 10, verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. They need workers. That's what I read out of this. Pastor has taught us regarding the harvest is plenteous and just when there is a plenteous harvest and what that has commonly been taken to mean. But the emphasis of it is for people to go out and work. Okay? And that's what we need. And in some countries, there is a harvest to be reaped. In others like ours, we've got to do a whole lot of sowing and watering in order to be able to get to harvest time. But the point is, we pray, and he encouraged us to pray for workers. There's times within the Sunday school, being superintendent, we know that we've got a need. Now the need for a teacher, the way you go about it is not simply to look for somebody, anybody, that we can put in there and fill the spot. Okay? You need to have the right person. Somebody might be a school teacher. That doesn't automatically make them the right one for that Sunday school spot. Okay? Because if they're not living for the Lord, walking with the Lord like they ought to, it'd be better to take the cleaning lady, which we would usually on an order, you know, we think of a teacher as higher up in the work order than a cleaning lady. Now, we shouldn't think that way, but face it, we do. And so it'd be better to have a cleaning lady who loves the Lord and is serving him, or a housewife, okay, who doesn't work out, and she's fortunate that she doesn't have to in the day that we're living. It'd be better to have her to be the teacher. And just because you have a banker in the church doesn't automatically make them the best man to be the treasurer. They may not have what they need. You say, well, they certainly have the skill. Sure, a person has to have enough skill. I'm thinking of a lady at Grace Bible Church who was a wonderful servant. She was a willing servant, but she couldn't keep her checkbook. She and I had the same problem when it comes to keeping a checkbook in the registry. One time she was going through with the bank statement, she found out she had $400 she didn't know about. Her husband was glad for it, okay? But one time we were in a nominating committee meeting and her name came up for treasurer. I didn't say why, but I said, no, that wouldn't be the spot for her. It'd be better to use her, and then I had another spot on the ballot that I could look to, okay? And so you need to pray. You need to pray so you have the person that God wants. And all right, we're going to close the Sunday school class. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and your grace and your goodness to us. I pray that these thoughts and even sometimes the ramblings would be of benefit, dear Father, and meet even just one person to give them something to think about, give them direction regarding the matter of prayer or the subject of a rambling, Lord, that it may have provided something.